Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you, Father, for your love and your mercy. It's new to us every morning. Father, we thank you for the gift of faith. We thank you, Father, for the gift of your grace into our lives. We thank you, Father, for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came upon this earth, took upon himself the form of humanity, lived a perfect life, that he would die an atoning sacrifice. But not that he would just die, but 3 days later he would be raised from the dead. And through his death and through his resurrection and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we have been given the greatest gift of all, the gift of your love. Help us, Father, to truly understand what your love is. Help us, Father, to rejoice in your love, to receive your love, and to reveal your love to others. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name, according to your will and for your glory, and all of God's children, we all say, amen. Our sermon text for this Christmas Eve service is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 to 10. Let me read it for us. It says, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but rather that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Our sermon is titled simply, Love. Saturday was a very special evening for me. It was my first evening back from Antarctica. We were about ready to start the first service, and I turned around, and everybody who was gathered here for that service had a penguin mask on. It was a surprise to me. It made me laugh. I stopped, I paused, I took out my camera, I gathered everybody, I said, okay, we gotta take a selfie. I turned around, I took a selfie of everybody. We're Lutherans, we're just not mad about it here. And I posted it to my Facebook page, and last time I checked, that picture has over 170 likes. Can you imagine that? And then Sunday morning came in, we had our first service at 8 o'clock, we're getting ready to start, I turn around, and lo and behold, everybody's got a ski mask sort of thing over their head. And in honor of me going to Antarctica and coming back, again, it made me laugh, it made me feel welcome, it felt great to be home, took a picture of that also. And then third service began, and nothing happened. And I thought, wow, what's going on? Okay, well, I guess we're just gonna have regular service here. And so then we had service, and at the end of service, afterwards, everybody, as they filed out of church, they had on a paper mustache that had been provided to them, because while I was down in Antarctica, we had a South Pole stash competition. And so everybody participated in it, and I got this great video. I captured almost everybody on video walking out of church. Everybody was laughing. Everybody was joyful. I was overwhelmed by your love. It was just an amazing thing to experience. And all the wives of all the husbands who'd grown mustaches in the past month were very happy for that also, because now they knew that their husbands' mustaches were going to be coming off. You know, it was a great experience of love. Receiving that kind of love is so easy. It's such a blessing. Love is such a broad topic. You know, I think of Christmas. I think of when I was a child. In my house, we used to exchange gifts. Children would get gifts for the parents. Parents would get gifts for the children, and vice versa. And I remember as a kid thinking, what can I get my dad? What can I get my mom to show them how much I love them? And I was just a kid. I didn't have a lot of money. And so I would save my money, and I would try to be creative with it. I would look for stuff that was on sale. And then I would wrap it the best I could, which probably didn't look that great, honestly. And then I'd put it under the Christmas tree, and I couldn't wait for my mom, my dad, my brothers and sisters to open up their presents. But I knew that no matter what I got them, whatever I got them would not show my love for them as much as I actually loved them. And so my gift never reached up to what I was hoping that it would be. When we look at love, and we look at our Father's love for us, we are drawn into a deeper understanding, into a deeper discussion of what true love is. Because it's easy to talk about love, when you're receiving awesome love for people. It's easy to talk about love, really, when you wish you could do a better job of loving others. But when we look at God's understanding of love and his expectation of how we would love others, we're challenged in that. And this Christmas, we would do well to reflect on that. I want to draw our attention to this verse from 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Listen to these words. It says, "Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." I want to read that again. "Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." Brothers and sisters in Christ, if you ask God for forgiveness, if you ask him for his love in your life, then his expectation of you is that you will forgive others. If you have been persecuted because of your faith, his expectation of you is that you will pray for those who persecute you. If you've been ripped off in a bad business deal, his expectation of you is that you will turn the other cheek, that you will give to that person your coat as well. When someone does wrong, God's expectations of us is to lovingly confront them, work for reconciliation, but to do all in love. And when we look at God's expectations of love, you and I, if we're honest with ourselves, we say, "My gosh, how can I do that? That is impossible for me." And that's why Christmas is such a blessing. Because what is impossible for you and I, to love others as God would have us love them, what's impossible for you and I, God has already accomplished and fulfilled through his Son, Jesus Christ. Can we give God a praise clap for that tonight? Amen. Let me read the verse again from 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. It says, "In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world." That's how he showed his love. He sent his Son into the world so that, that's a purpose clause in the original Greek, so that, in order that, for the purpose that what? That we might live through him. You will live a better life when you live the life of love that God has called you to live. So that we might live through him. What does that look like? "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the payment for our sins." All that you and I know about turning the other cheek, all that we know is because of God's love towards us. And no matter how much we love God or love others, our love will never equal God's love. We just have to understand that. And that's okay, because the great message of Christmas is that you and I are saved by grace through faith and not by good works. And that all of this is the gift of God so that no one would boast. Can we give God a praise clap for that on Christmas Eve? Amen. In Isaiah, we heard these words just a little while ago. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." The birth of the Messiah is a sign. Yes, it was a fulfillment of the prophecy, but it's so much more than just a sign. I mean, a sign just really kind of points your way in a direction. A sign just sort of gives you instructions. But the virgin birth of the Messiah is so much more than just a sign, because the Messiah would come and through his perfect life and through his atoning death would pay for all of our sins. He would make it possible for us to come before the Father in heaven for time and for eternity. The virgin will give birth to a child, and he shall be a sign, but he's more than a sign. And tonight, you will come and you will receive the Lord's Supper in just a little bit. And what you need to understand about the Lord's Supper is this. Some people say it's just a sign. It's just a memorial. It's just something that we do. It's a sign. It reminds us of God's love. But it's so much more than just a sign. Because Jesus said, "When you take this bread, you receive my body. When you take this cup, you receive my blood." And it does something. It's for the forgiveness of your sins. Can we give God a praise clap for that tonight? Amen. See, it's in the sacraments that we receive God's love for us. We have a great mission statement as a church here at Faith, that we're going to glorify God by spreading the gospel through doing three things. I think most of you know what they are. Through our preaching, through our teaching, and through living our daily lives. As we wrap up 2019 and we look forward to 2020, as we start to make our plans for next year, here's the thing I want you to remember to make plans for: to share and to live the love of God. Because Jesus has a plan for you this next year. It's a plan bigger than yourself. He wants to be part of something bigger than yourself. He wants you to be part of his plan, to share his love, to make it known with the world. I want to close with this last verse from 1 John chapter 4. It says, "We have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he is in God." Brothers and sisters in Christ, may that be true of you and me this day and even forevermore. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep all of our hearts and all of our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.